Well, next to a major report dealing with some of the most controversial aspects of the Troubles. The Canova final report has found no evidence of collusion on the part of the British state in the 1974 Dublin Monaghan bombings. Speaking at a press conference this afternoon, the head of Operation Canova, Ian Livingston, described the scale of the investigation.
9 years after being established, this final report captures the experience of Canova and the issues that have arisen as we pursued evidence and answers. I have been the officer in overall command for the last 2 years, and it is a privilege to submit this final report. However, the greatest privilege that I have had has been the opportunity to meet and listen to victims and families from the Troubles, who consistently demonstrate dignity and grace in the face of appalling suffering from brutal terrorism, at times compounded by state failures to act legitimately or with empathy and care.
The Chief Constable of the Police Service of Northern Ireland, John Boucher, also paid tribute to the courage of the families affected.
This has been and continues to be a body of work that has changed my life, Sir Ian's, and everybody involved in Operation Canova. And that's because the victims in this room represent courage, humility, and dignity. And it's been a privilege to come to know you.
Well, Conor McCauley, our Northern correspondent, is with us now. Conor, this is a very big report, so set it out for us.
Good afternoon, Cian. Yes, a very detailed, comprehensive report. 164 pages drawing together, as you said, there are a couple of the most controversial legacy matters of the Troubles. It was commissioned by the PSNI in 2016 on foot of a direction by the Northern Ireland Public Prosecution Service. As you heard Ian Livingstone say there in the clip, it has taken 9 years. He didn't mention the cost. It has cost £40 million. There are two main areas of interest, I think. One is the activities of the so-called Glenan gang, a UVF gang responsible in part for helping with the Dublin Monaghan bombings in May 1974, which claimed 34 lives. And then the activities of a top British Army agent in the IRA, codenamed Steak Knife, who's been linked to 14 murders. There's a huge amount of detail in the report. It wasn't just an academic exercise. They did send files to the Public Prosecution Service in 29 cases in respect of 38 individuals. That included this agent known as Steak Knife. There were 16 members of the British Security Forces and 20 civilians who were allegedly members of the Provisional IRA. They were all reported on very serious charges like murder, conspiracy to murder, false imprisonment and misconduct in a public office. But a relatively short time ago, it was decided that there would not, in fact, be any prosecutions after what has been an exhaustive investigation.
Well, you mentioned one major area of interest, the 1974 Dublin Monaghan bombing. So what does the report say about this?
Well, Operation Canova was asked to review the Dublin Monaghan bombings as part of wider work looking at the activities of that so-called Glenan gang, that South Armagh-based UVF gang, which involved security force members. I think it's fair to say that there has been the suspicion for years that Dublin Monaghan could not have been carried out by the UVF alone without some sort of technical help. The fact that, you know, four bombs were placed in two different centres a relatively short time apart in the early 70s. The Canova report found that while individual police officers, RUC officers and soldiers have been heavily involved and colluded with the UVF, there'd been no evidence of British state collusion or direction in the Dublin Monaghan bombings. Neither did it find any intelligence which it said had it been acted upon that could have prevented the bombings. The report, in fact, says that the Belfast UVF conceived and carried out the bombing with the help of the wider Mid-Ulster UVF, including that Glenan gang that I talked about. It says the UVF had the men, the materials and the expertise to do it themselves.
You mentioned it there, the top army agent in the IRA known as Steak Knife. There's controversy over whether or not, he's named in this report. What is that controversy?
Yeah, I think it's probably one of the most controversial elements of the publication of this report today. Steak Knife was effectively a top army agent in the IRA. He worked for them, we learned today, from the late 1970s to the early 1990s. Steak and Knife was part of a unit which abducted, tortured and murdered people suspected by the IRA of being informers. And Steak and Knife himself was linked to 14, as I said, of those murders. Steak Knife is widely believed, widely reported to be Freddie Scapatici, a Belfast builder who fled to England and died there in 2023. But he's not named in this report because the Canova team were told they were not allowed to do so by the British government. The British government has a policy of not commenting on agents, the so-called neither confirm nor deny policy. The Canova team says Steak Knife should be named. In fact, just a few short moments ago, the chief constable of the PSNI, John Boucher, who at the outset led the Canova investigation, said it was pantomime bordering on farce that they weren't allowed to name Steak Knife or give his real identity in this report. The report actually says Freddie Scapatici himself told his wife and another woman that he was Steak Knife. And Canova says it sent files to the Public Prosecution Service on Scapatici, which contained strong evidence of criminality, including abduction, torture and murder. But Freddie Scapatici died before prosecutorial decisions could be reached in respect of those files.
But Steak Knife is not named. There are fresh details about how he was run as an agent.
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, he was recruited in the late 70s. By all accounts, he was prolific. He produced a vast amount of intelligence, much of it valuable. So valuable, in fact, that his army handlers set up a special unit in secure accommodation called the Rat Hole, would you believe, to process his information separate to all the other information that was coming in. It's also clear from this report that whilst he sent information in, it wasn't always used to save lives. On many occasions, it was not shared in order to save the or to protect the identity of their agent. In fact, instead of being used to protect people or to arrest people, it was quietly filed away. And this meant that murders that ought not to have happened actually took place. We learned that he got large financial payouts over the years, 5 and 6 figure sums are talked about, and they protected him very, very assiduously. In fact, the report actually says, and this is quite difficult to believe, that his army handlers flew him out of the country for a holiday on a military aircraft with a military ID while they knew he was wanted for conspiracy to murder. So you get a clear picture here that effectively his army handlers were acting essentially with impunity. And that the report also says that out of a perverse sense of loyalty to Steak Knife, that when he was finally relocated to England, the army considered having an army dinner for him when he was resettled there.
Conor McAuley, thank you.